Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's bring in the voice of America's team, Brad Sham, brought to you by Neuropathy and Pain Centers of Texas. That was fun, wasn't it? You said it was a must-win game, and they came through for you.
So one of us said it was a must-win game.
No, I asked. No, I asked.
Yeah, I said it wouldn't be a good idea for him to lose. I think the most important thing is, by the way, there was a time, I remember a time when your reward for cleaning your room was being allowed to sleep in it the next night. But that's another question altogether.
I
think that the best thing about it for me, Sean, is that you did what you did to a team that had played the last five opponents within a play. I mean, There's never been anybody who lost five straight games by 3 points or less ever in the history of the NFL. And so the league's pretty even. And for whatever reason, you know, the rookie quarterback or whatever it is, they were able to come out and have a fairly dominant performance like that on both sides of the ball. And I guess you can throw in special teams. I hope Jeff Heath gets the Special Teams Player of the Week award. I think that's good. That helps your confidence going forward, regardless who you played.
How do we measure, though, Brad? How do we measure the win with how dominant they were versus a winless team?
Yeah, I think that you don't do it yet is the short answer. And part of it is the fact that just put on the tape and see how close they were. You know, maybe the key was getting ahead, although everybody else had gotten ahead of San Francisco. Then they'd caught up. Maybe they should have fallen behind. Who knows? But those were decent teams that San Francisco had played really close. And so they didn't get it close to them. So that's part of the measurement, I think. And they were home for the first time, and I didn't realize, candidly, that they'd played three straight games on the road. So they're home for the first time in a month, and that's part of the measurement. But the other part of the measurement is don't do it yet. Wait and see if they and it's fair to say, all right, let's see what they do in Washington Sunday, and then let's see what they do against Kansas City, because those are the teams that they have to beat and the teams that are out in front of them anyway. But they showed what some of the things they're capable of. That doesn't mean that the next opponent, look, their defense is going to get a different kind of a test on Sunday, because whatever happens tonight, Kirk Cousins is having a good year. He's a good player having a good year. That the quarterback position matters. But it's just all you can do is play who's in front of you. You can't do anything about the schedule. So you play who's on the field against you, and they had a good plan, and they executed it well.
So is it more important, do you think, for Zeke and the O-line to have a dominant performance, or for the defense to step up, because they really have been the reason this team had lost those two games?
Yes.
Good question.
I think it all works together. Apparently, I saw an alert that the league had asked for an appeal of Elliott's stay, that he might not be able to play this week, and a court said, no, sorry, he's okay. The other judge was real. The permanent judge isn't coming back till next week, so apparently he's going to play Sunday. And, it's important for them to have a good game. And then it's important for the defense, whoever's out there, it's important for the defense to show that they've got something and they can play together. I'll tell you, I got a chance to watch the defense on the plane coming home last night, and Lee being back is obviously a big deal.
Yeah,
he's a big deal partly for the plays he makes physically, and I'm becoming more and more convinced from talking to the other players he's an even bigger deal because of the way he helps communicate and get people in the right place. The guy who I just saw flying around was Hitchens.
Yes.
I don't want to say he was better physically than he was last week, because only he would know that. But that was his first game of the year, and this is his first game with Lee. But when you put the tape on, I mean, 59 is not just involved in every play. He's really active, and he's really flying around noticeably. So I think the more they're on the field together, that's good news. And then, as you said, Sean, Jalen Smith's making some plays, but he's doing it now with the plan that they had originally going into the year. Scale it back, spot him, and as he is both learning and physically growing back into himself, then he's going to be able to make more plays like that.
Brad Sham, Cowboys Hour tonight. You talk about perfect guests. We'll get to it here in just a second. But, you know, I'm trying to think of who else could be a candidate for most underrated player on this team. I think it's Anthony Hitchens by a mile. Like,
yeah, because he was forgotten. I mean, he wasn't there for several weeks. And
yeah.
Someone
well,
else
and
jumps
he
out,
had
Brad?
Such an amazing camp and preseason.
Yeah.
I mean, he and I think that's really a good way to say it, Sean. Most underrated on the team, because nobody ever talks about him.
Yeah.
And
nobody outside of the Metroplex knows who Anthony Hitchens is.
Correct. And he's a very important part of their defense because of what he is in the linebacker room and in the defensive room as well as on the field. And then his intelligence helps him help Lee. Lee's kind of inspirational in a – it's not just intellectually. Lee is also – he's just the fire. Well, Hitchens really helps him and feeds off him. The night in Arlington in the preseason, that what turned out to be the last preseason game, who was it, the Colts, that where Hitchens got hurt, I thought Sean Lee was going to cry. I'd never seen Lee so upset when he got hurt. And so the symmetry and the kind of symbiotic relationship the two of them have in a football sense, I don't know that I'd fully appreciated it until I saw Hitchens get hurt and Lee react to it. And I think that's a really good observation by you, that Hitchens is the most underrated player, maybe on the entire football team, but he won't be underrated for long if he keeps doing that.
You can give the Bill Parcells answer to this if you'd like.
Oh, yeah.
But the question is, are the Cowboys, in your opinion, an average or good team?
Oh, they're not good yet, in my opinion. Okay. They won't like that. But in my opinion, they're not good yet. A good team, a good team's going to have to beat some good teams. And if you're a good team, then you answer adversity you don't, in a positive way. You don't just face it. I will tell you that, in my experience, a game like they had in Denver is not a game that a really good team has. You can lose a game. You can lose three games. But to get undressed like that and sent outside in your tighty-whities without your lunch money and your bicycles taken, I don't know too many good teams who have had that happen. And so for whatever reason that it happened, they have to build back from that. Now, they can be a good team, and if they win Sunday, that will help, and the Sunday after that might be even tougher. And then I don't know, you know, the Chargers shut out the Broncos yesterday. I don't know how many more 3-foot putts they have left. And they can be a good team by the end of the year, but I wouldn't call them a good team yet. I'd call them an average team with promise.
Who you got tonight and where?
Yeah, well, of course, it's at the Omni Frisco, and 6 o'clock on the Cowboys Hour, and we got Dan Bailey and Chris Jones. By the way, that'll be an important piece going forward. I think Bailey's going to miss at least a month. Now, he hasn't even had an MRI yet, but just based on talking to folks last night, he was – people will hear him tonight. He's, you know, the last time they were in San Francisco, he slept on a bed that was just bad for his back, and that was last year. And remember, it was just a week or two later they were in Green Bay, and that's when he came out. So, and then
a month? Dang.
Yeah, and then a rookie in his rookie year. Remember, he missed that 19-yarder early in the year when Parcells was still the coach. And maybe Parcells wasn't. Wade was the coach.
Yeah, but definitely wasn't Bill.
No, you're right. Wade was the coach, but he missed that 19-yarder, and he thought, as Babe said, he thought he was going to get cut because he didn't know. He wasn't Captain Dan yet. He was just some rookie kicker from Oklahoma State. So we were on the plane. Last night I get on, and I saw him the first time. He looked at me and said, I hate San Francisco. It's tough. He's not entirely sure what he did yet. Now, maybe the news will be better. And Jason, when you talk to him in a few minutes, may say something different. But their feeling, the people I talked to on the staff, the administrative staff, as well as Dan, I think they have to. They're going to sign a kicker. They're going to have to be prepared to be without him for at least 4 weeks.
Thank you. We'll hear you tonight.
Okay.
Brad Sham.
Deal with that.
Terrible, man.
Go clean your room.
Yeah, exactly.
Jason. Exactly. Jason Garrett coming up at 8:30. Thank you, Brad. First, we have Troy. I'm gonna have to message Mama Bailey on this. I'm gonna need confirmation. I guess I was just being dumb, like a week, maybe two, at least a month, in Brad's estimation.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.